This is Dr. Karen Wilson-Starks, and welcome to my podcast series, The Voice of Leadership. We are creative, practical, community-minded. We may have never experienced anything like this in our lifetimes, but we know how to rally, and we know how to look after one another. And right now, what else could be more important than that? I thank you for all you are about to do. So be strong, be kind, and unite against COVID-19. These are the words of Jacinda Ardern, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, just days before her country went into massive lockdown. How does she successfully lead and inspire her people to take the necessary actions for what she called level 4 shutdown? Well, what I want to talk about in a two-part series is that leadership excellence of Jacinda Ardern, the Prime Minister of New Zealand. She's an example of excellence in crisis, and we're really going to pay attention to a lot of the actions that she took and the ways in which she set things up in her country so that they would successfully deal with the COVID-19 pandemic crisis. So the first thing I want to mention that she did is that she cast a very compelling why for what she was asking the country to do. And she said things like, you know, together as a community, we have a window of opportunity. And part of that window of opportunity was to give healthcare a fighting chance. And she was very keenly aware of the fact that, as she put it, we have a chance that others don't have. And that's the chance of saving thousands of lives. And we will save those lives by taking these measures now. So she started with that compelling, why are we doing this? What's the reason? And it's to save lives and to save more lives. Number two, she identified a very clear and compelling goal. In many countries, the goal, as far as the virus was concerned, was a goal of containment. For Jacinda Ardern and New Zealand, the goal was elimination of the virus, not just containment. She talked about the importance of breaking the chain of transmission. And in order to do that, you have to start early. You've got to hit the problem strongly. One way of putting it is you start with a very sharp and short approach, meaning shut down immediately. And when you do that, and you're very, very rigid about it, persists for 4 weeks, you save lives more quickly, and you don't have the long and lingering problem that goes on month after month. She also knew that a lot of the infections were really coming from international travel and from people coming back into the country or in and out of the country due to travel. So she wanted to have a process of aggressive testing. And through that aggressive testing, they could map out the contact patterns. Who was in contact with whom? How might this have spread to the next person? And there were multiple testing stations throughout the country so that people could get tested. So that compelling why are we doing this to save lives? The clear goal, elimination of the virus, which means all of this tracking, all of this testing, not just containment, but elimination. Those were the first two pieces. Number three that she did was that she learned from other people. There were other countries who went through the crisis earlier and sooner. She looked at the results of those other countries who had faced the problem earlier, and she paid attention to what worked and what didn't work elsewhere. she learned that a quick, rapid, immediate, and maybe a little more restrictive response actually works better. And that's what she was promoting in New Zealand. She also kept pace with the best of science to figure out, what do we know about this virus? What are the experts saying? And she relied on that expertise in making the decisions that needed to be made. And she became aware that many countries had to expand their quarantine time because they didn't act early enough and they didn't act aggressively enough. And she didn't want to make those same mistakes. So she was willing to pay attention and to learn from others. That's number three. Number four, she inspired ownership of the solution, meaning this was not just going to be a top-down decision. She appealed to the people and to their best values and to their best versions and visions of themselves as people. She inspired them to make this solution their own solution rather than to just come from a position of being forced or a position of an edict from on high. Although she has all the powers of law enforcement behind her, the police, the military, and she mentioned that those things were in place to enforce the provisions, she really didn't lead at all with force. She led with inspiration. She led with vision. She led with an invitation to co-creation and to co-ownership and collaboration in the process. And one of the things that Prime Minister Ardern said is that none of us can do this alone. It's a collective ability. Number five, not only was she explaining and talking about why we're doing this and what's the compelling reason, she explained what would happen if we don't take these steps and if we don't take this action. She talked about the grim consequences and explained why sticking to the rules mattered so much. She said, if we don't do this, we will have the greatest loss of lives in our history. So she wanted people to understand what's the consequence if we don't do what we're being asked to do here. And then six, she provided extreme clarity and detail about every facet of society. First of all, she defined the four different levels of shutdown that the nation could be in. She talked about what shutdown would look like at each level, and she also talked about how the country would know when to be in stage one, two, three, or four. What would be the signs? What would let them know they needed to move from one stage to the next or go back to an earlier stage that they had been in? She also identified which ones of the business enterprises would be considered critical and therefore still in operation. And she also identified the business enterprises that were expected to close. So by being very clear and very detailed about what was being done, what would be considered, and who would be involved, she's providing a roadmap for her people. Let me just review what I've covered so far. What I've seen Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern from New Zealand do is, number one, cast a compelling why, saving lives in a massive way. Number two, she identified a clear goal, which was total elimination of the virus in the country to break the chain of transmission from person to person. Three, she learned from others, other countries, learned from scientists and experts what works, what doesn't work, and then implemented the best strategies. Number four, she inspired ownership of the solution, appealed to the people who they are as the best of themselves, and inspired them to take this on as their own solution to the problem. And number five, she explained what would happen if this action was not taken, the grim consequences and the greatest loss of lives in our history. And then number six, she provided extreme clarity and detail about every facet of the four levels of shutdown and what would happen in society. So next time, I'm going to share an additional six examples from Prime Minister Ardern and her leadership, what she did and what worked. So be sure to join me next time as I cover those additional pieces, and they will give a lot more color and even more detail for why I'm considering her a great leader in this pandemic crisis. Hi, I want to invite you to join me for the Art of Leading Virtual Teams. This is a webinar that I am doing on Tuesday, the 19th of May, and this will take place at 6 p.m. Mountain Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And during this webinar, I'm going to talk about the best practices for how you actually lead in a virtual context. We know that there are some best practices that are different from what you would do when you don't have a virtual team. So we'll talk about subjects as how do you stay connected? How do you stay in touch? How do you communicate clearly when you're not face to face? How do you help increase the understanding between team members or stay in the loop, achieve your goals and get accountability? What kind of meetings make sense to have in a virtual context? How can you work together when you're not physically together? And how do you really focus and minimize distractions, manage your time and energy, and still get high quality work and productivity? That's just a subset of what we're going to cover in the Art of Leading Virtual Teams webinar on the 19th of May. So join me. And if you are listening to this on social media or in another context where you can see a link, then click the registration link. Otherwise, send an email to admin@transleadership.com. That's admin@transleadership.com, and ask for the link to the Art of Leading Virtual Teams. This is a complimentary webinar designed to help you show up as your best in today's virtual work environment. See you on the 19th. You've been listening to The Voice of Leadership with me, Dr. Karen Wilson-Starks. And I want to give a special thanks to jazz saxophonist Ron McMillan for granting us permission to use his gifted music on our show. Thanks for listening. And remember to go to my website, transleadership.com, for more strategies, insights, and leadership resources.